Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Linder, that is! Into left field! It's number 3,000! A run is scored! Musial ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease! The kicker can't trip him up! Headed for the end zone! Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Brower. Rebound. He scores. Trevor. The former Blackhawk has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. We're broadcasting live from the Schnucks off of Lindbergh. It's Schnucks South Oaks, 5780 South Lindbergh. A good marking point is that great restaurant Bartolino's is just about a 7-iron away from us. And this is our roundtable program. Andy Strickland could not make it. We've replaced him with the Hall of Fame coach, Rich Grauer.
Well, the Blues lost, so we told Strick to stay home.
That's a good point. And we also have Charles Tuna Edwards in the studio, actually on location. Good to see both of you. Charlie, how are you today?
You know what? When I know her coach was going to be here, I feel so good. Feel so good to be with coach, always. We're complete opposites, but I love this. I'm going to check you out one night. You think your wife will let you go?
Yeah, she will. But
look, oh, my gosh. You better, please, don't do it, Coach.
You better explain that complete opposites.
No, I mean, he's a very conservative guy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not. That's what I mean. Nothing okay. else.
That's true. You're right about that.
I just talked to a guy on the way in. He said, I saw a tune at Cafe Napoli. He's around the bar, prancing like a peacock, saying hi to everybody. He says, there's just something about him. I said, yeah, there's something about him. All right.
I got presents.
That's right. A lot to discuss. We're going to get a heavy Blues conversation at 11 o'clock. Dan O'Neill is going to join us. Martin will join us. The winning streak ends last night at 11. I don't know how all of you felt. I kind of thought with Dallas playing so badly and the Blues having this great mojo, this thing was going to last. But it ends last night in Dallas. Thought?
Well, it always has to end sometime. And yeah. I think Dallas, you know, the rival that they are, the coaches that they have, the incentive they had to end this streak, and it was going to end sometime. So, like you said on the air the other night, Frank, 11 out of 12 ain't bad.
Yeah.
You know, they were favored Las Vegas-wise by a goal, the Blues were. But it's not a bad loss. I hate to say this. You know, a coach never wants to lose. But it was going to come to an end, and this is going to be a good loss for the Blues. They're a different hockey team right now.
It was just so strange seeing Binnington kind of lit up. And after the third goal, that happened so quick. Thinking, can they actually yank him? Jordan Binnington, the savior of the season?
Well, you know, what scares me, and it's fun to watch the Blues play it. I don't know that much about hockey. But what scares me when you go into Stanley playoffs, a rookie goaltender, that just scares me.
It changes the game, doesn't it?
That changes the game. And, it you know, we still may have to rely on our other goalie to pull us through this.
You're right. And how about this, too, is, you know, we're in this incredible streak. And yet after that game, now Dallas is only 4 points behind you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this thing could change real quick. I don't think it will. I think the Blues are solid. They're going to be fine. But, boy, it could happen.
Do we have a lot of home games coming up? Or
well,
are we
it's
on
almost
the road?
Better we don't because we're not very good. Let me give you this stat. This is really interesting. The Blues at home are 15-13-2. On the road, they're 17-10-3.
Yeah.
But I got to believe with the environment at the – Enterprise Center now, it's better to play at home. I mean, that thing is...
After that Toronto game...
Oh, you're right.
Oh, my goodness. Great. It was like we were at the old arena for a great hockey game. It was a totally different atmosphere.
Speaking of the old arena, today is a very special anniversary day. Do you know this is the anniversary of the miracle, the Monday Night Miracle?
1980, huh?
Yeah. February 22nd. It's also... February 22nd, 1980, will forever be remembered, not just for the Miracle on Ice, but the night the Steamers, on this day too, drew 19,200 at the Checker Dome.
Wow.
How do you remember those days? Did you ever go to a Steamers game when it was like an event?
Well, Kangaroo sponsored most of the guys, Tony Glavin, Slobo, all that.
Did they wear Kangaroos?
They wore Kangaroos, yeah.
Wow.
We built the show. We copied the Samba, and that's what Tony Glavin wore, him and Slobo. We had several players on the team.
You know, what has always fascinated me, though, Frank, is the reasons why the Steamers, I remember the days of St. Lucie hockey where it was just packed with Bill Selman and all those guys. What, you know, it'd be interesting to kind of go back and see if there's a general trend why all of a sudden these sports just fall apart. They just decline tremendously in the St. Louis area.
What about the Armory? It's been empty for years. That would be perfect for club hockey.
Well, when I was at SLU, I remember trying to convince the people then that we had to have a home arena. We had to have a home arena other than Keele that we could call our own and practice there anytime we wanted to. And I suggested, why don't we look at the Armory? And why don't we see if we can maybe refurbish that and fix that up?
Wow, that would be a neat idea.
Yeah, and
I think they're redoing it as we speak. There's something going on there now. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you used to, because West Pine was not exactly, a gorgeous place. You would take recruits there at night, right? You wouldn't take them there during the day.
It was really difficult. And, I would come in some mornings at West Pine Gym at 7:30, 8 o'clock, and I'd see some homeless person leaving the gym. And he'd say, we never locked the place. And even if it was locked, it was easy to break into. He would say something like, I'd say, how you doing? He'd say, I had a nice night's sleep, and I had a shower, and I'm walking out the street now.
Lee would bring them out to my office sometimes. Yeah. He would bring them out to the Kangaroo office.
Yeah, any place but the West Pine Gym and the campus. It's so much different now. The campus, the facility, Chavis. Yeah. But the whole campus is different.
Yeah, that Chavis facility, I think we kind of take it for granted. It is one of the best. I mean, one of the best in the country if you factor in just how intimate it is. There's not a bad seat.
No.
It feels like it's brand new, although it's not.
I was there Friday night for a concert. I was four rows from the stage, and I look around at this place. I said, you can reach out and touch somebody. It's very good, very intimate.
Yeah.
By the way, Gibby providing this stat, the Blues since January 1 at home are actually 6-2. Let's talk a little bit about Charlie mentioned Kangaroo, and, of course, the big story in sports this week is the Nike shoe worn by, the most exciting player in college basketball, Zion Williamson. What do you think? The NBA is already contemplating that change in age. They're going to make it from 19 to 18. But I think the easiest way to do it is if a high school kid wants to go to the NBA, he should be allowed to do it. Your take?
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, these high school kids that are players like Williamson, even though Duke is a very high academic school, what motivation does Williamson really have to put all his efforts into classwork? He knows he's going to be the number one draft pick. He knows he's going to get millions and millions of dollars. So, I'd be in favor of let the kids go at high school.
I would, too. The reason I don't think they should, but I think they should be able to. I still think a kid should have 1 year of college. I really do, to get that experience and tone them down a little bit. But they should be able to go. What do they do it in? Tennis?
Baseball.
Baseball. You can go in an age group.
Golf. You can do it. Yeah.
Let them go. You just can't do it in football yet. And that's going to change down the road. So
but see, Charlie,
a kid.
But see, if you have that rule where they have to go to college 1 year, which they have
now. Well, I don't think they should. But I think it should be there.
Yeah. But again.
Well, I'd say at least two. If you're going to make them go. Because, like perfect example is Zion. When they get knocked out of the NCAA tournament in the Sweet 16, he'll leave Duke. He won't go to another class.
Right.
And he'll go train, which is what he should do. So it's a joke.
If you're going to have that, then I think you have to have coincidental with the mandatory 1 or 2 years in college, some type of rule per semester for a kid to qualify to play for his team. I mean, it has to be, you have to be enrolled in X number of classes and attending those classes, or there has to be a minimum grade point average, because these kids, they just won't go. I mean, why should they?
The NCAA, for once in their life, are going to be proactive. They see a lawsuit down the road with some kids' parents challenging that rule, that age rule, and I guarantee it's going to happen. But here's the downside to it.
Excuse me 1 second. It's not the NCAA's fault. It's the NBA's fault on here. The NBA is the one that's not allowing kids to go straight to the NBA.
But I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. With a guy like Zion, Scottie Pippen has said it, Zion has got to sit down with his family and say, do I continue to play, which he is, or should I just shut it down? Because, hell, it's a business decision now, not a basketball decision. I know a coach hates to hear that, but it's a business decision now with him.
It's a value decision. Mm-hmm. What does Zion really value? And a value is something that you cherish, that you love, you're motivated by, and it kind of motivates your life. Is his value, this experience of being in college, this experience of playing with my fellow teammates, the experience of the NCAA tournament versus the almighty dollar?
Did you hear Roy Williams this morning?
Yeah.
Roy Williams said, hey, man, he's got to make that decision. Does Coach K come in there and talk to him about this? Does a coach come in there and say, hey, man, it's up to you?
Well, yeah, I think he will, and I'm sure he doesn't have a choice. I mean, if Zion Williamson says, hey, look, I don't want to risk anything, I'm not going to play, then it's not like Coach K can force him to. But I think the one thing we're leaving out is Zion Williamson is tight with his three fellow All-American teammates. He wants to win a national championship. This may be the best year of his life because he could go to the NBA and go 20-62 for the next decade. Granted, he's going to make millions. This is the most enjoyable time he may ever have in his life.
Well, it's easy for us to say that, though, Frank. I mean, but when you're talking about, again, this is not a serious injury. I don't think this is a serious
injury. If it was, then it's a whole different story.
Then it's a whole different story.
Yeah, I wouldn't play either.
But, you know, we've got college football players not playing in the bowl game for fear of injury. I mean, this is a growing trend. I'm back to what does Zion value? And I do believe, just hearing interviews by the kid, that he does value being with his teammates. He does value the college experience. He does value the NCAA tournament. He values that over the almighty dollar right now. But, again, I think somebody like his parents or Krzyzewski would sit down and make sure the kid sees the two options he has.
I called Ryan Blake yesterday, chief scout at the NBA, and he told me, he said, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if Zion's the best player on the team. He said, if it comes to a first-round draft pick, he said, they're going to look at, was it Barrett as well? But he said, Zion would probably be a pick. But he said, the way Duke is playing right now, they won't win an NCAA championship.
They will or will not?
They will not, because it's a two-man game.
Well,
those two guys, there's a two-man game.
Okay, here's the thing, too, is if you look at, like, mock NBA drafts, and I know there could be some debate, but almost everybody has Zion 1.
Right.
Almost everybody has R.J. Barrett in the top 3, and almost everybody has Cam Reddish in the top 4. And then, you know, the point guard, Trey Jones, is at the end of the first round. So I hate all these people giving the sympathy, oh, how can Duke do without Zion? Well, what team in college basketball has 3 first-round draft choices without Zion?
Well, see, Kentucky has in the past.
Not this year.
But
see, Duke showed you a lot the other night when they didn't win that game. They should have played much better than what they played. I know it was probably a shock to the younger guys, his teammates, but I was shocked at the way they didn't play right.
I was shocked at how the game kind of disintegrated into playground ball. They just ran up and down both teams, and Carolina plays that way quite often. But I thought Duke at home in Cameron Indoor would keep the game closer.
Right.
They never made
totally
that run.
They never made that run.
Who is actually, when you watch a game, who is actually running an offense? I mean, here's Mike Krzyzewski, the all-time winningest coach, this brilliant mind, all those national titles, and all they do is they set that high screen and let the guy go one-on-one.
Well, when you watch college basketball today, I mean, it is very conceivable that, you know, everybody does the same thing offensively. They run that high screen and roll. They run the weave where they hand the ball off. Everybody does it. You can almost go in at halftime, change uniforms, the teams come out, and you wouldn't even notice it. It's the same style of ball.
What about Virginia?
I think Virginia plays a little different. I think Michigan plays, to a certain degree, a little bit different. You know, I like Beeline. But the college game is turned into, many ways, the NBA game.
How do you like Houston?
Well, Houston's very athletic. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's tremendously athletic. They got those long, lean bodies. I really like Houston, yeah.
Well, yeah, he's a really good coach. Kelvin Sampson, despite all the issues that he's had, he's an unbelievable coach. Everywhere he goes, he wins big.
I like teams, though, Charlie, for the tournament to make runs that have basically senior. I like a team like maybe Nevada as a sleeper team because they got seniors, they got guys coming back.
Jay Gonzaga is going to be pretty fun.
I'd like to see Mark Few finally win a championship. Yeah. A guy that's been dedicated to that Jesuit school for how many years has he been there? He's had opportunities to leave, and he's passed those up. And contrast that with the guy at Wichita State who had opportunities to leave. He passed them up, and he's now probably not in
And that's what has hurt Duke maybe in the past couple of years.
the youth.
They don't have a senior-laden team. Yeah. I'm going to tell you something about Coach K. He's one of the most unsung Americans in this country. He can go to get these Afro-American kids, convince their parents. I know it's Mighty Duke. And he does it year in and year out. And he does it on a great value to the parents. And education comes first. And people, not enough people talk about that, Coach.
Yeah. Well, I think I've told this story before, but I have the utmost respect for Mike Krzyzewski. When I got the job at SLU after a couple years, I called Mike, I need a name team coming here to Keele Auditorium to attract some excitement amongst our fans. Would you come and play at Keele Auditorium against me? And he knew me because of Stepanovich, recruiting Stepanovich. Mike says, Rich, he said, I'll tell you what, I'll come to you if you come to me twice. So it'll be a two for one. Right. So he comes to St. Louis. He plays at Keele. We have a good crowd. And he's got Dawkins, Amaker, Billis. He's got all those guys. Ferry. He's got all those guys.
Now, was this your Bonner team?
No. This was my
early
third.
On.
Yeah, this is my third.
Oh, God, so you got hammered.
We got hammered by 15. He's not going to embarrass you. I mean, Mike's not going to.
Burns on that team?
Who?
David Burns.
No. He was gone. I didn't have Burns. Yeah. So anyway.
I'm thinking Darryl Anderson.
Yeah, those guys.
Maybe Burden.
Yeah. So we play those guys. And then the next year we go back to Duke. And we actually play really well. That's what Douglas Gray, Bonner. And we end up losing, by 8 or 10. And I remember afterwards, as we're leaving the arena, he's got his team back on the court practicing because we ran a couple little flex screens and got Douglas a couple dunks. And, so anyway, we're due to come back there in 2 years. It's to 2 for 1. And I call Mike and I say, Mike, I'm in a little bit of trouble here. We're not winning like people thought we should. I really don't need to get a whipping back at Duke. You think we could postpone or change that contract? And he said, Rich, I understand your situation. He says, I'll tear up the contract. You don't have to come back.
Great,
that's a class act.
That is great.
I mean, in sympathy for a coach that maybe is struggling for his job, Krzyzewski agreed to we only went back once.
That one game they came here and played, when you went to Duke, and you played pretty well.
We played really well.
Did that help your team that year after that?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, the confidence level was tremendous. And if we could run our really helped solidify our man offense because they played man-to-man and we were able to run our man offense and get really good shots.
Mm-hmm. You'd throw those lobs to Douglas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we had Roland Gray playing the point, which messed them up. We put Roland
six
at the
body,
point. Yeah, and they had to make some adjustments. They had Quinn Snyder on the team at that time. And that's another funny story because when – Quinn got the job at Mizzou. I had Brian give him that game film of us playing Duke at Duke, where Quinn was their leading scorer actually in that game, but he couldn't stop Roland Gray. So I just, as a kind of a joke, I said, Brian, give this to Quinn and tell him to look at it. That we're the team that made Krzyzewski bring that team back out after the game was over to practice.
Nobody threw that lob more than you guys threw at the Monroe. How many times do you think you'd run that? It's incredible.
Well,
it was your success rate with that too.
We had guys that not only Monroe but Bonner could we did it with Bonner and even Roland Gray was that type of player. So yeah, we had a different options. It was fun, but that was a day when you ran a set half court offense and you worked for that particular shot. Now
can
you
I ask
don't.
You quick, would you? If you could turn back the hands of time, would you like to be coaching these athletes today in college?
Well, Charlie, I'd have to change my philosophy and everything because I was one of those guys that said, hey, here's what I basically told my team. If you got a fast break, a transition game, it's your game. Yeah, I won't yell at you for taking a bad shot or a forced shot. But if you have to set up, it's my game.
Yeah.
It's my game.
We ran a play every time down.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And mainly passed the ball to the big fella. All right. Oh, speaking of Bonner real quick, he's 50 years old. I told you this yesterday. We're at practice. He is just smashing Hassan French. French is knocking him, and they're going at it. And then Bonner is teaching him and working with him. And he is really doing a great job.
Can he score?
He can. In fact, he can. I asked Bonner, Hassan, and Travis that if he were to play 32 minutes against Dayton on Saturday, what he'd do. And they all said, double-double.
Great. That's great.
Now, Bonner said he would die afterwards. Yeah. But
he's in great shape.
He leads a good life, healthy life, too.
All right, let's take a short time out. We have Charlie Tuna. We have Rich Gower. We're broadcasting live from the Schnucks South Oaks, 5780 South Lindbergh Boulevard. We'll be here till 2 o'clock. Martin will be here. We'll have the baseball show after that. Dan O'Neill is going to come in and talk a little bit of hockey. Before we go to break, quick word about Maryville. Was there last night watching the basketball team and their Kids Rock Cancer Night, where they raise a lot of money and kids who have been battling cancer sing a song at halftime. It's just a great diversion, and the kids are really into it. We appreciate Maryville University having us out there. And a quick word about the Bomberito Automotive family. If you're looking for a car, go to bomberito.com. You can search their extensive inventory of new cars and pre-owned cars and see if they don't have the right car for you at Bomberito. They sell more cars than anybody in the state of Missouri, and they've done it for 11 straight years. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.